Let's turn for a little while to Romans and to chapter 8 and verse 1. We've been thinking on this first Sunday morning of the month, every month through 2024, about some of the big texts in Romans, some of those great texts, some of those texts that stick in our minds, some of those texts that sum up the gospel for us. We are asking ourselves the question, what has Romans ever done for us? We come this morning to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And here is another great verse that summarizes the gospel for us, that tells us what it is to be a Christian, reminds us why we need to be a Christian, explains to us how we can become a Christian, and indeed how we live as a Christian afterwards. And Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want us to notice three things about this verse this morning. The first is that this verse is a verse about condemnation. It's got that awful word, condemnation, in it. Condemnation is a word of hopelessness, isn't it? Whenever we use the word condemned, we know there is no hope. We know that there is a huge, insurmountable problem. We might see it on a building, perhaps. So we're walking, and maybe there's a building that's been all boarded up. And in fact, it's all fenced off. And as you look at it, you think, well, it's a long time since anybody's been in that building. Maybe all the windows are broken. And maybe there's evidence that the building is beginning to fall down. And perhaps on the fence that separates you from the building, there's a sign saying, this building is condemned. This building is waiting demolition. There is no hope for this building. You need to keep out of this building for your safety because the building is condemned. That's pretty hopeless, isn't it? But then we think about people who are condemned, don't we? So sometimes we read about people, perhaps in the United States of America, who are on death row. And they've committed a serious crime. And the crime that they've committed has been judged so serious that the death penalty must be applied to them. And so they're on death row. They're condemned people. They're waiting for the day. They might be going through an appeal process, but that appeal process might come to an end, and they're under condemnation. And so there's no hope. They have committed a crime, and for that they have been condemned. We think about that, and then we think about what God's word says. God's word speaks about a spiritual condemnation. It speaks about men and women who, because of their sins, are condemned by God. This isn't the only place where that word comes to prominence. John chapter 3. I'm sure we all know John chapter 3, don't we? John chapter 3 includes probably the most quoted verse in the Bible, doesn't it? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a great verse that is. That God has loved the world so much that he's given Jesus. And if we believe in him, we can have everlasting life rather than perishing. But read on in the next few verses. Next to that great verse, Jesus says this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see what those verses are telling us. Those verses are telling us that Jesus came into the world because we are under condemnation, because by nature we are condemned, because we're sinners, because we choose to do those things that are wrong rather than the things that are right. God sent Jesus into the world. He didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. He could have done that, couldn't he? God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. God is the God who abhors sin. He cannot look upon sin. His eyes, Habakkuk tells us, are too pure even to gaze upon sin. And in that sense, God would have every right to send Jesus into the world to condemn it, to, as it were, put the fence all around it and put the notice up saying, this world and everything in it is going to be destroyed. But God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, because we're under condemnation. And Jesus speaks about it in John chapter 3. The Apostle Paul speaks about it in Romans chapter 8. You see, in those verses in John chapter 3, we're reminded about what the greatest sin of all is. It is refusing to believe in Jesus. If we don't believe in Christ, our sins can't be forgiven. Whatever those sins are, we thought this morning, haven't we, in our prayer time about some of the things that have happened this week. And we've seen horrendous wickedness. We've seen evil that it's hard to think of. Anything worse than what happened in Southport. How horrendous is that? But you know, the Bible tells us that even a sin as serious as that can be forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And even if we had done something as vile and something as wicked as that, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But if we turn away from Christ and we don't believe in him, we don't put our trust in him, the Bible says we're condemned. And the reason that God sent his son into the world is so that that condemnation can be removed. So here's the first question for us this morning. Have we realized that by nature we're under God's condemnation because we're sinners? Because we've broken his law. We've said and done and thought those things that are wrong in his sight. Have we ever seen that that's where we are? That's our starting point. In a sense, the gospel has nothing to say to us unless we see ourselves as being under condemnation because of our sin and because of our wickedness. That's how the verse begins, as it were. It begins with this subject of condemnation. But we can't stay there, can we? Because actually, that's not what the verse says, is it? The verse isn't about condemnation. It's about no condemnation. That's what it says. That's the second thing we have to see about this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So, the tables are turned. There's hope. You and I, by nature, we're condemned, but it's possible for us to be not condemned, to go, as it were, from one side to the other side. It's possible for us, for it no longer to be true of us that we're condemned. And we can go into a place where there is no condemnation. And Paul says, that's true of me. Now, it doesn't mean he's perfect. It's interesting that in chapter 7, we looked at chapter 6, at the end of chapter 6 last month, didn't we? We haven't looked at chapter 7, but in chapter 7, he knows that even though he's a believer in Jesus, he sins. And he hates that. And he wishes it weren't so. The good he wants to do, he finds he can't do. The bad things he wishes he didn't do, he finds himself doing. And again, he has to come back to that place of repentance and crying out to God. And he rejoices in the fact at the end of chapter 7 that Jesus is delivering him from that body of sinfulness and one day will deliver him. And he says, now there's no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Because you see, it's Jesus who makes all the difference. It's through Jesus that we can go from being condemned to being not condemned. That's what Jesus tells us in that chapter we referred to earlier on from John chapter 3, isn't it? If you don't believe in me, if you don't believe in the one that God has sent, then you're condemned. But if you will believe in him, if you will believe in Christ, if you'll put your trust in him, then you can be taken out of condemnation and you can be set free. And that's what it says here. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, sometimes it's helpful to put some verbs before that in. So we could say trusting in Christ Jesus, believing in Christ Jesus, taking refuge in Christ Jesus, hiding in Christ Jesus. You can think, can't you, perhaps when you've been out, maybe even in these last couple of weeks, and you've been out and the sun has been shining, and suddenly the storm has come, and you've thought, I need to get inside somewhere. I need to find a place of shelter. Maybe you've been going around town and you've dived into a shop, or maybe you're out in the countryside somewhere and you get back to the car and you get into the car. Why? Because the storm has come. You need to take refuge. You need to find a shelter. You need somewhere to be inside, out of the storm. Well, here's what Paul is talking about here. To be in Christ Jesus is to be united with him, to be sheltering in him, to be trusting in him, to have believed in him. And if we do that, if we are in Jesus Christ, then we are safe and we are no longer condemned. Why does Jesus make all the difference? Well, when we drop down to verse 3, we find that word condemned again, don't we? We find that when Jesus came, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus came, and he came as man, and he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came, if you'd seen him, if you'd been there, one of those great occasions when he performed one of those mighty miracles, how wonderful would that have been? Or if you'd been there on the mount when he preached that wonderful sermon on the mount, or if he'd taken you aside and dealt with your problems and your issues, how wonderful would that have been? All of those things Jesus did as part of his earthly ministry. But he came as a man. If you saw him, you'd say he's a man just like every other man. But he wasn't a sinner. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he came as the sinless Son of God, and he condemned sin in the flesh. Sin is one of those things that he has defeated. Sin is one of those things that he is victorious over. Some of our songs this morning have reminded us, haven't they, of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. O sin, the mighty conqueror, from death he rose, and all his foes shall own his name. Jesus has conquered sin, he's condemned sin, he's defeated sin. He's paid the penalty of our sins by dying upon the cross. And so you see, because Jesus has condemned sin, if you're in Jesus, you're not condemned anymore. You're not under God's condemnation anymore. And so Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do I know that that's happened to me? What's the proof? What's the evidence of that? Well, that's the third thing. In fact, that's the thing that will take up the next few verses. You see, Jesus makes a big difference. God, who has given us Jesus, has given us his Holy Spirit too. One of the great reasons why God sent his Son into the world and why Jesus lived and died and rose again and ascended to heaven is that God could send his Spirit into the world and his Spirit into our hearts. and His Spirit to help us and to lead us and to strengthen us and to guide us and to live in us as we seek to live the Christian life. You see in these verses, Paul reminds us that whereas we were under sin, whereas we were therefore under condemnation, whereas we lived our lives according to the desires of our own hearts and our own bodies, when Christ comes and when He dwells in us and when His Spirit comes and His Spirit dwells in us, then we have that power to live our lives not according to our sinful desires, but according to God's Spirit that dwells in us. And the point of the next few verses reminds us of that. For Christians here this morning, we shouldn't be carnally minded, shouldn't be led, as it were, by our bodies and by our bodily desires, and those things become preeminent. No, we live in our life according to God and His Word. We live in our life according to His Spirit that dwells in us, a Spirit that empowers us in the battle against sin. Verse 11 is that great verse, isn't it? If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That was a mighty outburst of power, wasn't it, the day of resurrection. God raised Jesus from the dead. How amazing it must have been to see the stone rolled away, to see the angels who were there. If we'd have seen Christ walking out of the tomb, how amazing is that? The power of God manifested in the resurrection of Jesus. Paul says that's the same power that's at work in us who believe in Jesus, helping us to live the Christian life. Maybe you say this morning, yeah, I know what this verse is saying. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm condemned. I can see that. I hear what Jesus says. I see what Paul is alluding to here. And I want to become a Christian. I want to be in Jesus. I want to trust in Him, to believe in Him, to take refuge in Him, to be found safe in Him. I want to do that this morning. But I'm concerned about how will I live the Christian life? How will I go on as a Christian? Because I know what I'm like. Well, here's the encouragement of these verses. God who has sent Jesus to be your Savior is the God who has sent His Spirit, His Spirit that will dwell in your heart, the Spirit that will lead you and guide you and strengthen you and empower you to live for His glory and for His praise. So this morning, don't stay condemned a moment longer. Come out of condemnation. Come into Jesus. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Know Him for yourself. Have everlasting life in Him. Let's sing as we close this morning. A lovely hymn.